Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If I were to ask you how you would define love, different people would define it different ways, and the way we use love, we use it in different ways. For instance, love is, how many of you ever heard someone say, I love my car? Some of you could curse your car, I understand, but there are some people who love their car. Someone says, I love my home. I love my wife. I love my kids. But that's a different type of love, isn't it? But yet we use it loosely. I love the quiet. I love Chinese food. I love the Green Bay Packers. So, if you say you love something, it is not always the same thing. And the love is, well, let's just think of it this way. You either love a lot today because of an emotional attachment to someone or to something, or because it's a preference in your life. But both of those types of love will fade away. They will rust. They will be destroyed. They will be taken out. They will eventually fade away. But man desperately wants a love that never fades, a love that is strong, a love that's powerful, a love that overcomes everything, a love that is so high it can't be measured, and a love that is so wide it can't be understood. This morning I want to talk about that love, and it's available for everyone that's here. It's available for us. It's available for those that we see every day. It's available for the world. In the scriptures we read that God is love. His identity is love. Now I want to talk about that a minute. This is not something God created. He did not create love, nor did he appropriate love. God is love. His very nature is love. His very essence is love. Before God created the universe, he was love. Immediately there would be some intellectuals who would say, all right, if God is love, then who was he loving? Well, Christianity gives us an answer for that, as most religions do not. And Christianity says, from the beginning, there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they had a love fest going on from the beginning of eternity. But there's no eternity has no beginning, has no end. So God has always been love. As we think about that, only Christians can say we truly understand a God of love. For God has always been love. I'd like for us to look at a couple of scriptures. John chapters 5, verse 19 through 20. Now that was 1 John. This is the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John's a little bit before that. John chapter, it says St. John in many of your Bibles. John chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Then turn to John 15, 9. Same book, John 15, 9. As the Father loved me, this is Jesus speaking, I also have loved you, abide in my love. Then John 17, a couple of pages over, John 17, verse 22 through 23. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Now this is Jesus speaking to God. This is a prayer to God. And then, we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. The love for Jesus extended past into past eternity and now is being extended to man. The reason God created the universe, the reason God created man, was so that he could extend his love to human beings. But there was a little ink in the ointment. There was a little problem. And it began when God said, "Be the only way for there to be love in human beings that I'm going to create is I must give them free will." You see, if I don't have free will, I can't love. How do you love without free will? You can't. You've heard the story of if you want to show someone you love them, let them go. God gave us free will to love him. That means we don't have to. And in our human nature, Satan comes along and says, why would you want to follow God? It's boring. It's dumb. It's stupid. It's confining. Quite the opposite. It's freeing. To know Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the most freeing thing you will ever walk into. And the love of God is the most freeing thing you will ever know in your entire life. I want you to understand that his love was meant for mankind. He created us for us to love as he is love. But because we don't have the essence of love, we struggle with love, and we've struggled with love till Jesus came. God sent Jesus to die on the cross, and when he gave himself on the cross and died, we were given the opportunity of stepping into the presence of God through the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus to become one with God. We walk with God, and his love becomes our love. It's not really our love. It's not that we love him, but he loves through us to love him back. And I think that's a hard thing for a lot of Christians to believe or to understand. Turn back to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John is after Peter. 1 John chapter 4. And it says this. I'm not sure which verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who is born of God and knows God loves. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. How many of you, I asked my wife this morning, I said, do you have anything from the lotion place? Bath and Body Works. Because we went by that. We drove by that yesterday. There's one over in the near Bojangles over here off of 15501. And I said, wow, we don't have to go to South Point to go to Bath and Body Works. Have you ever stepped into Bath and Body Works? What does it smell like? Good. As a matter of fact, that's about the best smelling place I've ever been in my life. If you're walking by in the mall and you walk by Bath and Body Works, you go, wow, I wonder what that is. Well, there's a lot of stuff in there. But you go in there and you can get some stuff that if you put it on, you rub it in, you smell like Beth and Body Works. And I've got news for you. You're attractive. Now, I mean that. Now, you know, I remember a girl I used to be in love with, and I think the thing that drew me most to her is she smelled so good. Man, did that girl smell. She always had that unbelievable smell. I was going, wow. But, you know, the way that you gain an aroma that is pleasing and attractive is you have to hang out where the good smells are. If you don't hang out where there's good smells, you're going to start to smell like the rest of the world. The aroma of Christ is with the body of Christ. If I hang out with the body of Christ, I'm going to start smelling like the body of Christ. But if I find that I don't have time to hang around with the body of Christ, then I've got news for you. I start having the aroma of the world. To have an intimate relationship with God is to actually gain what God has. It's hard to be around God and not to have the aroma of love if God is love. How do you do that? And by aroma, I don't mean you just look like or smell like. It means it's all over you and everybody can't help but notice it. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, it says this, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." That was the first birth, so she was amazed that she got a man to come out of her being. Adam knew his wife, Eve, and he bore a son. The word knew comes from the same derivative as the knew that we must know him, know Jesus. Well, what are you talking about? It's an intimate relationship, so intimate that we actually bear forth fruit. To have an intimate relationship with God is not like going to church and sitting around and being religious. Having an intimate relationship with God is where I walk, talk, breathe, and am with God daily. And I love to be with others who do that stuff too. I don't know about you. I don't like locker rooms. You ever been in one? They stink. Because it smells like old dirty tennis shoes. And by the time you get out, you're worried about, you know, if you're going on dates, you come out of the, when I used to play a little basketball, I come out of the locker room going, I hope I don't smell like what I just left. How can you hang out with some of the people you hang out with and not expect to look and act and sound and smell like them? You ought to be hanging out with the Lord. The greatest place you can be is hanging out with Jesus, because the love of God gets all over you and the world is tremendously attractive. But I will say this. When you become a Christian who is full of love, you will be attacked by Satan. There will even be those who lie about you and say things that are false. They did Jesus. But I want you to know God calls us to walk in that love. Now, I want to go a step further and say to you, if we have an intimate relationship with God, which comes through Jesus Christ, only Jesus died for us, and when he died for us, he paid the price so that we could step into intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit. Okay? Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "But God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, died for us." That's the kind of love God has. I want you to take a minute and think about that. Take a minute and think about it, because you're going to figure out where I'm going to go in just a minute. In that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Did he, after he died for us and we got straightened out, is that when he began to love us? When did God start loving us? While we were still sinners. If we as Christians are called to step in intimately into his love, and we become his love in the world, we begin to smell the love, have the smell of love about us. We begin to orient ourselves towards the love of God. If we do that, then we start to love people who stink with their sins. They smell to high heaven. They don't look like me. They don't come from the same culture I come from. They don't act like me. They think what I think is wrong, they think it's good, and they live it out openly. If I had to say anything about Christians, and this is what I would like to say to us, I say that's to me. We love hanging out with Christians because we love the odor, we love the smell, we love the beauty of being with Christians. But God's called us to go out of here and hang out with the sinners. Isn't that what he did? To deliberately figure out how I can hang out with sinners. We had a ministry in Conway that we began when I was living there. It was called a street ministry, New Life Covenant Street Ministry. And we would go down the streets of Myrtle Beach and walk the streets. And we would go into bars and sit down with people in bars. The bartender would come up and say, "What do you want to drink?" "I'll have some water." Our purpose was to go where the people are, to meet them, to try to love them as Jesus did. If we're not doing that, then the question is, do we have the love of God? He who has no love, the same love that God had. Now, a lot of times we sit here and we go, "Oh, I got the love. I got the love of Jesus. Yeah, I like people." Do you have the love of Jesus such that you would die for another? That you would go into a bar and sit down and witness to them? I know Christians would say, and I as a pastor would say, "You know, somebody's going to see me going in that bar. And they're going to tell the congregation, I just saw the pastor come out of a bar." And then the rumors begin. But I want you to understand it in a little different way. Let me see if I can say it this way. Not only are we to follow him intimately, but we're to follow his commands. Now, When a man came to Jesus and said, "What's the greatest command?" He thought he was going to trip up Jesus, because there's a lot of them. How do you say what's the greatest? He said, "What's the greatest command?" And he looked at the young man and he said, "You tell me, what's the greatest command?" He said, "That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength." And he said, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Right? He said, "Yeah. Listen to me. Jesus' commands is this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength." And we're supposed to love our neighbor the same way. And Jesus went a step further. Gerda started preaching my sermon there a little bit. And I'd like for you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 40. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 40. The reason I ask you to look it up is because I remember what my dad said. Pastor kept reading scriptures, and then finally he looked at me. This was before my dad was saved. And he said, "It's in the Bible. You can read, can't you?" And it upset my daddy so bad, he said, this country bumping preacher's trying to tell me I can't read. But anyway, I'd like for you to see it yourself. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 40. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them, on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when we saw thee in prison came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So how do we say to God, I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength?
Jesus said, when you love each other with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. How can you love the Father who you have never seen if you don't love the people around you that you see every day? Is that answer?
How do I love my neighbor with all my mind? I want to just share with you just a minute. I love them as myself. Okay. How do I love them as myself if I am loving them with all my mind? Here, listen to me. I think about them more than I think about myself. How many of us, when we drive down this road every day, we're thinking, Lord, give me somebody I need to touch today. And we're thinking, how much of our thought is about ourselves? Honestly, how much of our thought is about ourselves? Think about it. How much of our thought is about worry about tomorrow? And God said, don't worry about tomorrow. I got that. I know, because I'm one of you. Think on these things, the Lord said. Now, number two, it says, with all thy mind, heart. How do you love people with all your heart? How do you do that? You love them with the love in your heart that God gave you. If he forgave you of grievous and great sins, how much more should you forgive those who've had grievous sins against you? Forgiveness is probably the key element here. You forgive them before they ask for forgiveness. And when you meet that person that really, have you ever had anybody that God puts right in front of you that go, everything about this person I can't stand. I can't stand the way they got their hair cut. I can't stand with all those things in their face. I can't stand with all those things all over their body. I can't stand those things that they're wearing. I can't stand their everything. And it's just, God puts that person right in front of you to see if you will love as he's called us to love. Why? To test our love. Any of you work anywhere? Anybody? Your work is a center for God to work through you, to touch people with the love of God. You're not there just to make a buck. You're not there just to build your house. You're not there just to do your duty. You are there because God sent you there. He put you there. And he said, I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. The neighbor, and you know, you remember who Jesus said? The man looked at him and said, but who is my neighbor? He thought he had him tripped up again. And Jesus told the story. You remember what that was? Good Samaritan story? A Samaritan. A man that everybody despised because Samaritans, the Jews, couldn't stand. Enemies. Was laying on the side of the road, beaten up. And Jews came by. Finally, one stopped, went over and picked him up and took care of his wounds and then took him to an inn and took care of his needs. He took care of him. He took his money. And by the way, this is where I think we miss it. He probably had plans to go on down the road and buy something for his wife with that money. Now, he's got to return home and tell his wife, I didn't bring you what you wanted because I just spent my money on this dude that was cut up on the side of the road. You see, we as Christians can legitimize any story. I mean, well, that man had a lot of money. He was just tossing it out. No, that money, that man probably gave up all he had so that this man could be healed and helped. What does it mean to follow God? What does it mean to have intimacy with God? To have love for each other with our heart, all our hearts, our minds. And the next is strength. Hearts, minds, soul. Soul is third. Soul. How many of us bear our souls with each other? How many of us were ready to risk sharing our souls? When Gerda said, and I can talk about her because she's not here right now. When Gerda said, I just have to talk about Jesus. That's bearing your soul. Because who is Gerda? Gerda's Jesus. That's who I am. Bearing your soul is bearing who you are. And I don't see how you can bear who you are and never get to the point, if you're talking with somebody, that you ever talk about who you are, which is, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, I walk with Jesus. How do you do that? I've had people say, we never get conversations about Jesus. Well, then you haven't born your soul. Your soul is who you are. I'm supposed to love my neighbor with all my soul because they might be dying and going to hell. And if I don't share my soul with them, I've got news for you. They're going to continue on down the road. The last one is all my strength, which is all my assets. All my assets. Do you love God? If you do, you love your neighbor with all your assets. God is good, all the time. Let me tell you what he did to me, and I'll let you know that so you know pastors right where you are. I was preparing this sermon, and I get this email. And actually, I got one in the email the night before, but I didn't really look at it and go through it. Okay, you know. And I looked at it, and it said this. Frank Boone. He was a student of my Crescent Christian Academy. That's why he's on my Facebook. He's married and he has a child. He said, we're in desperate straits right now. We don't know if our house is our rental is going to be renewed. I don't have enough money to put down another deposit. He said, I don't know what we're going to do. My wife's in the hospital. She's sick. And my daughter's sick. And we're desperate. And I've created a fund me sort of thing that you can put on there. And I sat there and I said, do I have money in my bank account to help him? And I said, ooh, you just did what you getting ready to preach about. Do I have enough money to help this dude? Do I have enough money? It's God's money. It's not even mine anyway. Who am I to sit there and question whether I have money or not? God will provide. And if he wants me to give to this young man and help provide him, And I'm not saying we run around giving all our money away. I'm saying, but when God puts someone in front of you and deliberately sets you up, and you say, I don't have time or resources for this person, I think we miss the love of God. Now, I have talked to you very carefully and woven something that I want to close with this. There was a very famous man, his name was Karl Barth, a theologian. If you go to any theological school, he's one of the most brilliant minds. He wrote a 6 million word book on theology. He was going all over the world speaking during his day. And Karl Barth at the University of Chicago was asked this question. Out of all your theology and studying God and studying what God is all about and how we got here and everything, what is the one thing, the one fact that just blew you away? And he said this. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. The greatest knowledge, the greatest thing you can ever learn is Jesus loves me, this I know. Not because I'm good, not because I'm perfect, but because God is love. And he said, how can I do no other? I ask you this morning, if you've stepped into God's love this morning, if God has bathed you intimately with his love, then how can we not love others? And this is our call as a church, and this is our call individually. Let us pray.